Today we celebrate what is for us the solemnity of St. Thomas More. It's a little odd in ordinary times to be wearing red, but St. Thomas More was a martyr, and you're probably well aware of that because he's the patron for your parish, for this parish. It's unique to be able to celebrate this, and it's a great joy, because every other parish in the diocese and most across the world are celebrating the 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time. It's just regular, green, normal. But for you, this is a great celebration. And St. Thomas More is a great patron to have. He's near and dear to my heart because of the high school that I went to, but he's also just a great witness and example for the lay faithful, because he was kind of an ordinary man, gifted in some ways, and so he got to work up into the government. He became the chancellor for the King of England, a lawyer, but in a lot of ways, he was just a regular parishioner. He went to Mass with his family, he had four children, and he did his best to just love the Lord. So it's a great day to celebrate him, but it's a great patron to have for all of you, and I'm very grateful to be able to celebrate it with you. Today I have 2 points I want to reflect on with you in these scriptures. The first one is that God is still the God of creation. And then the second one is that faith has an opportunity to grow. So God is still the God of creation. In our first reading in Job, we hear God telling Job out of the storm that he controls the sea. He told it how far to go. He set it up. And he is the one that has dominion over it. That word dominion that we use means Lord. The Lord has dominion. It seems obvious, but sometimes, I don't know, we kind of forget. And so we get scared, terrified, as the disciples were in the gospel, of the sea. But the Lord has control. He has dominion. He is the Lord. And we see this with how immediately everything calms when Jesus speaks. The Word of God has power. And it has power over our world here today, too. I have a friend. We go to school in Denver together, both studying to be priests. And we were skiing one day. And as we were skiing, we came down a slope, got on the lift, and we were coming back up. It was halfway through our day, so we were a little tired. We weren't really talking much. We were just enjoying the ride up to the top of the mountain. And he looked at the beautiful snow-capped mountains, the sky with the clouds behind it, and he just kind of sat there for a second. And then he said out loud, I don't know if he even meant to, my father did that. And my father put that there for me. And I was kind of surprised. I was kind of blown away. But I think that's a great attitude to have, to realize that your Father, he made this creation and he put it there for you so that you can see his glory, you can glorify him, and then you can be in awe and wonder of the Lord's dominion, the Creator's dominion over all of creation. But in the midst of this dominion, there's something in us that has to be fostered, and that's faith. Jesus rebukes his disciples today for their lack of faith. And he does this many different times throughout the Gospels. One that comes to mind right now is on the road to Emmaus. After the resurrection, these two people are walking, right? And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, comes up to them and rebukes them for how slow of heart they are to believe everything that's in the scriptures. And today, of course, the disciples are terrified. And he asks them, do you not yet have faith? Of course, in some ways they did. But in this moment, they showed a lack of it. They didn't. And so faith is something that grows and then gets perfected in us by the work of grace, by God. Faith can kind of be talked about in two different ways. There's faith on a human, ordinary level that we all have and we all use. But then there's faith in a supernatural level that's given to us, that's a gift from God. It's one of the theological virtues. Faith in an ordinary sense is something that builds trust. And it's more than just belief, it's more than just a content, but it really rests on trust. If you go to the doctor, say, in a normal human way, you're putting your faith in that doctor because you trust him. The schooling that he's been to and the expertise that he has, the experience. And so when he tells you you're sick and you need this treatment, probably very few of us argue. Probably very few of us are like, nah, I don't think you're right. I don't think I need that. Maybe, and sometimes doctors are wrong, for sure. But generally speaking, we have faith in him. Faith in the doctor. We have faith in just regular, ordinary situations. But it's more than content. And on a personal level, if we're going to believe somebody and trust in them, we want to know more than just about them. We want to know actually who they are. And so, say you go to meet somebody, or you're hiring a new person for a job. You can Google their name and look at their Facebook, look at their LinkedIn site. You can find out a lot about them. But until that interview happens, until you get the chance to hear them speak, you don't really know who they are. When someone starts to speak, then they can disclose their heart, and then you get to know them, you get to have the opportunity to actually have faith in them, to trust them. But that's on the natural human level. Faith as a supernatural theological virtue is more than just belief that God exists, although that's part of it, and it's more than just knowledge that he can do things. But it's a trust in who he is as a person, because God is a person. We can have a relationship with him. We can come to know him. And this is vitally important to fostering that faith in our hearts. We're all here in some capacity because we have this faith. We've been given it. But if we work together to know the Lord and to allow him to reveal himself to us, this interpersonal relationship builds that faith, solidifies it, and then elevates us to this knowledge, this understanding, this belief, but at a deeper level, this trust. Trust in the Lord's goodness. Trust in his love for us. Trust in his dominion, his care over all of creation and over our lives. And so I invite us to consider how we can foster this. Two favorite ways of mine: our personal private prayer, and then reading of the scriptures. Jesus is the word of the Father, and in the word of God of scripture, he is made known. Not only is he a person, but he came to us in sacred scripture. And so the more we meditate on scripture, the more we read, especially the New Testament, but all of scripture, the more we're having that interpersonal dialogue. The more we're having that interview, that conversation, where you actually get to know the person and see their heart disclose. And that builds that foundational trust. Because it's sacred scripture, it builds something more than the ordinary human relationship, but that supernatural faith in seeing his works in scripture. And then we take that to prayer, and we disclose our heart to him. Because it's a mutual back and forth. I think more and more, the very heart of Christian life, of course, there's many aspects to it, so I don't want to speak too generally or boil it down too simply, but it's prayer. It's this relationship with the Lord. That's where faith is fostered. That's where hope builds. And that's where we come to know the love of God, his dominion over all aspects of life. And love, perfect love, the love of God, casts out all fear. No longer are we terrified, but we trust. We have faith in the Lord.